I think it's really just trying to give voice to a population group here in Bloomington Normal that doesn't have a voice in the theater of its own. The program is directed and put together by Jamel Robinson and Gregory Hicks. I chose them specifically because they know people both in Chicago and here, people who are really excellent playwrights. This particular project, what we did is we reached out to people that we knew. We're planning next year already and thinking about reaching out farther and really trying to pull in some voices from even around the region, around the country.
Maddie, your play is Glass Half Black.
Yes.
What are the issues that you deal with that?
Just the black experience as a whole, predominantly growing up in a single-parent household from the perspective of both the mother and her son, Nathan. The thing that makes it so interesting is that we all see the world through two lenses, optimism and pessimism. We want the best or we accept the worst. And the meaning behind Glass Half Black is that there's a third perspective, which is that black experience that you can't teach. It's second nature to people like me who's young, African-American, and wants to be the best world. So either you will grow up to be a pessimist or an optimist. You have that fork in the road.
Why is that a uniquely black question to deal with in a play? Isn't that part of the human condition?
It is, and it isn't. It is because, you know, the goal is you raise up children to be at least decent human beings. That's the goal in life. However, when you watch the news, when you listen to the radio, when you look on Twitter, you see that African Americans are always the spotlight of the unfair advantage, the single parent household, the bad credit, the no jobs, lack of a father figure. You know, just a lot of things against society. We have all the cards stacked against us. So I wanted to show up in a positive light that, you know, even though you may be dealt a bad hand, but you can still overcome those obstacles.
That is an optimistic. How did you reach that place of hopefulness?
Oh, man. It's a lot of dark times. Growing up, I grew up in a little city called Vallejo, California. I was the only kid on my street, but around my street were, you know, a couple of rough kids, a few criminals, a few dealers, hustlers, street entrepreneurs, if I may say. I remember I would hang out with them, and they told me, no, that's not my spot. I am destined for something greater. And so I had to think back to that dark times of me trying to find what group I belonged in. And I kind of fueled that into my writing to realize that, you know, there are other kids out there like me who don't know where they belong, who don't know if they can be a president or if the streets is the only life that they can understand.
It's interesting that street hustlers would not co-opt you and say, okay, join me, or I will exploit you, or I will use you in my business. Why were they saying, no, you should go a different road?
That's the thing. I still don't know. To tell myself a little bit, I was very tiny, so I could climb in the windows and unlock the doors. Or I was always keeping watch from the church balcony. Just something about it. I was also the funny one. So they always knew that I had a greater purpose, that they didn't want me to waste my talents on the street corner.
Most writing, in some fashion, is personal writing.
Mm-hmm.
There are parts of it that are not familiar, not easy, and not personal if you want to finish off the project.
Right.
And make it a whole. What were those parts for you in writing this play, the uncomfortable, non-familiar parts?
Oh, man. Well, starting out, I did not write this play in order. I wrote some monologues through the mother, who is loosely based on my mom and Vanessa Williams. Pre-Miss America, Vanessa Williams. Her speeches came easily because my mom would always talk to me in a certain tone, and just the way she carried herself was just easy to write for. But there's a particular moment in here where Nathan receives a voicemail from his father, and that is based on an actual voicemail I received from my father on my 20th birthday. And just the reactions and just the feelings, it was so difficult to write it. Because I still remember that voice, I still remember that message, because it came out of nowhere. And I didn't want to finish the story at all, I didn't want to finish the play anymore, because I reached that dark point. But then I realized, let it fuel me, let it fuel my writing. And believe it or not, that helped me find even more gems. and even things through the narrator's perspective. And it just opened my eyes to see that if I can touch that truth, if I can fight through the pain and get it on paper, it's a form of therapy. And it would just help me finally let go and understand life a little easier.
Don Shandro, the title of the festival is the Black Voices Matter New Play Festival, which echoes, of course, the Black Lives Matter, which is a movement of justice and, in significant part, a movement of anger at current conditions. Is that evocation of anger in drama intentional on your part?
In some ways it is, yes. I think that you can't... My feeling is that if you're going to listen to somebody's story, if you're really going to listen and engage, you've got to be willing to listen to the anger. If you're willing to listen to the anger first, then you can really get to a point where you can listen without being defensive. One of the core values that New Root Theater has is a principle called emotional justice. And it's a term that was coined by a journalist, an African-American journalist, Esther Arma. And really the point of it is that anytime that there's prejudice, anytime that there's a breakdown in really any kind of a relationship, there's an emotional rift. And until that emotional rift is addressed, then you're not going to have any kind of healing. And we've really never had any kind of healing in this society because we've never really touched that emotional rift as a society. We've never really gone into it and really kind of figured out what that means. And theater is a really wonderful vehicle for addressing that kind of a concern.
The other two works in the festival are Shades by Leola Bellamy and Black by Maya Thompson. How do those works fit what you just said?
Shades is really a kind of a wonderful choral piece of self-examination of trying of a woman who is trying to come to terms with herself in her society and not really kind of having fit in. It's really almost a choral poem which takes us to Africa, which takes us to this country, and it really kind of expresses a lot of political situations in both continents and how they're really connected. Also, Maya's play is a family drama. And a family dramedy, actually.
A Thanksgiving table contretemps.
Absolutely, it's moving. It's a poignant piece. It reflects a family that an American family, a very American family, and how that family is affected by both outside influence as well as inside influences.
Maddie, the director is your wife, Jamel Robinson. How did you manage to get your play accepted for this festival?
Oh, snap. when I first found out about it, we talked about it, and she said, hey, I'm thinking about doing this festival. I think it'd be a really great idea. If you have anything you want to submit, now's the time to let me know if you want to be interested.
But it wasn't a given that your wife was going to approve your
submission. She thoroughly goes through my things and lets me know how bad they are all the time.
It's good to have an honest critic in the house.
Exactly. I appreciate it. So when she said, hey, if you want to submit anything, let me see it. Let's talk about it, and I'll let you know if it's in there. And so I gave her this concept, and I wrote a few monologues to give her. I wrote one for the mom and one for the narrator and said, hey, how's this? And she said, okay, let me see a script and then I'll talk to Don and we'll pitch it. And I'm excited because as an alumni of the school, I graduated School of Theater 2012. And there's not that many opportunities for Black artists such as myself to showcase their range of character. Usually it's either we can do classical or we can do dramatic or we can do a musical. However, I feel this festival allows us to showcase everything. And it's needed. This kind of shakeup is needed.
Maddie, would you be willing to read a little bit of your play?
Definitely. There's three characters of the play. There's Moms, there's Nathan, and there's the narrator. And this play jumps over time over the course of 15 years. And this is the narrator's speech after the mother is going to go out. Langston Hughes asked the question, what is a dream deferred? That's a good question because dreams shrivel up and die all the time. Most of those dreams are big dreams. Space, fame, fortune. Quick thing about fortune, everybody wants to dive in a pool of money, but most of y'all know y'all can't swim. What kind of dreams did you have when you were younger? Astronaut? President? Athlete? Big or small, they're your dreams. And no one should be able to take that away from you. Now, back to Langston's question. What happens to a dream deferred? Does it dry up like a raisin in the sun? Why do we as people give up so easily? Or are we simply finding another way around? Question for you. Where do raisins come from? Grapes. Now, what is a grape? Think about it. What is a grape? If a raisin is a dream, what is a grape? Langston didn't tell you that one, did he? Nah, see, a grape is hope. You need hope to dream, don't you? If someone gives you hope, what do you do with it? You dream. You see where I'm getting at? Hopes and dreams. It's what we live for. Dreams are the end game where we hope we can get to. See what I did there? Some people in particular, they look at their life and their situation and they hope for one thing. Hope. ... Ellipses. How can you hope for hope? Easy. It's more than that. It's being hopeful for the future. Hope to find happiness. Hope to wake up another day. Hope to pave a better future for your child so they can make a way to dream. Now, what happens if I give you a grape? Will you utilize it and turn your hopes into dreams? Or will you let it turn into a raisin and watch your dreams be deferred?
Maddie Robinson is the playwright of Glass Half Black, part of the New Root Theater Black Voices Matter New Play Festival. And Don Shandro is the artistic director of New Root Theater. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Schlenker.